As we approach the first day of summer on Thursday, I'm struck by this season we're in, this season of growth where plants and trees around us are all in full growth. As I've walked around the neighborhood this week, I've been struck by the beautiful shades of green of these plants and trees, by the beauty of the brightly colored flowers that I see as I walk. I'm also grateful to the labors of our own parish gardeners and lawnmowers, for our yard has never looked more beautiful. But I know from experience that there is much intentionality and work involved in creating gardens. First, sod is removed. I confess, not my favorite activity. I think it's really hard work, but it's a necessary task. And then the soil is prepared. What to plant is decided. Seeds are purchased, and decisions are made on where to plant specific plants. Materials and supplies are purchased, and gardens come to display their beauty after all this planning and forethought and labor. In today's gospel, Jesus tells two parables about seeds and growing. In the first, the kingdom of God is compared to a person who sows seeds. But in this parable, there isn't planning. Rows are not created for the seeds. There's no organization of what will be planted where. Instead, the seed is scattered indiscriminately by the sower. It falls where it will. It lands where it does. Now, this image may strike us as odd. It's not how we do things. But we don't live in the first century, and we don't work the land as Galilean peasants who were listening to Jesus did. So scattering seed is not how we sow seed. And yet I learned recently that this kind of method of scatter sowing was something used in centuries past. The seed is prepared, it is then cast, and you hope it grows, and you see what happens. But in saying that the kingdom of God is like a sower scattering seed, Jesus is not actually offering agricultural advice. Rather, he is speaking of things that can be difficult to understand, because Jesus knows that what he's saying is not only difficult, but it is at odds with the assumptions and beliefs of the people he's talking to. Jesus finds a creative way to communicate his message. And his is a message that upends what his hearers believe to be true, believe about how things are. And so he uses parables like the ones today that are based on images and situations that those living at the time would understand, those living in an agricultural society would be familiar with. And then from this starting point, his parables include always some kind of surprising twist, some new teaching, some new understanding. In the first parable, Jesus is teaching about the kingdom of God, and he's challenging those who are listening to him to step outside of themselves, to allow commonly held beliefs to be changed. It can be easy for us, either in the first century or even now, to confuse the kingdom of God with the way we do things, the way we want things. And so Jesus is suggesting that God's ways may not be our ways. And so we have this sower who scatters the seed randomly, with seeds falling wherever they will. And then the sower steps back. The growth happens without the sower knowing how. In fact, the sower goes about ordinary life, sleeping and rising, night follows day, and the seed somehow mysteriously sprouts and takes root and grows. It does not happen through the activity and the power or the busyness of the sower. And yet, still, in some mysterious way, it happens. And the sower can harvest the crops at the end of the season. Jesus offers this parable to teach us about God's grace. That God's grace, like that seed, is poured out everywhere, on everyone. It falls on the just and the unjust, on the righteous and the unrighteous. God's grace is a gift given to all of us. Though none of us deserves it, none of us can earn it. And God gives this gift to us because of the great love that God has for us. And then once poured out, God's grace does what it does. It takes root where it will. It takes root in hearts that are open to it. through God's loving initiative, God's kingdom breaks into this world. And God is able to transform our world through God's inbreaking love and grace, even overcoming the injustices of this world. Like the growth of a seed, how this happens is mysterious, and it is entirely God's work. We cannot understand it, we cannot control it, and it is not accomplished through our efforts or our activities. No matter how much we might do, we can't bring it about. God may use us as agents of building God's kingdom, but it is God alone who gives the growth. The second parable today, Jesus tells about the mustard seed. It is the smallest of seeds, and yet it grows into a large shrub where birds can find shelter. Something so tiny, seemingly dead, for seeds don't look particularly lively. Something tiny and appearing dead is able to overcome odds by sprouting and growing. This insignificant seed takes root in a hostile world, growing into a shrub that can provide shelter and safety. This is nothing short of miraculous. It's a mystery how this is accomplished. Jesus tells this parable of the smallest seed growing into a large bush so people can understand what is happening in their world, to give them hope. For Jesus is speaking to a people who are oppressed under the weight of Roman occupation. And he offers this teaching to people who experience economic oppression. And in teaching, the kingdom of God is like this smallest seed. Jesus hopes to offer hope to people who have little. The image of tree branches offering shelter is found throughout Scripture, and often it's a metaphor for the release of the people from oppression. In our first lesson, the prophet Ezekiel offers God's words of hope to people who have little hope left. Ezekiel lived during the cataclysmic time of the 6th century BCE, when Babylon conquered the people of Israel, destroying Jerusalem, even destroying the temple, and then took some of the people into exile. Ezekiel himself goes into exile in Babylon. Today's passage is addressed to those people, those who are now exiles, those who have experienced their homeland being destroyed. Ezekiel is writing to a people who have little hope for the future. They can see little reason why the future shouldn't be exactly as bleak as the present. And into this hopelessness, God's word comes to the people, reminding them of God's faithfulness, of the promises of God, which will not be broken. God will take a sprig from a tall cedar tree, plant it on a mountain, and it will grow into a large, noble cedar tree. All birds will find shelter in its branches. Creatures will find refuge in the shade of its branches. And everyone will see it and know the power of God because of this mighty tree. God will bring the high, the mighty, low, and God will exalt the lowly. This word of God given to Ezekiel offers hope to people in the present. Hope that things will not always be the mess that they are now. And God calls the people to hope, put their trust in that faithfulness of God, in the promise of God's love. The disaster of the present they are experiencing, the failure of their political leaders, is not the last word for them. In time, God promises to deliver the people. God's justice will prevail. The mighty who oppress the people will be brought down. The lowly will be lifted up and delivered. In the fullness of time, God's faithful love will prevail. In the parable of this tiny mustard seed, Jesus evokes the great promise that God's sovereignty is supreme. God is more powerful than all the powers of this world, even the mighty Roman Empire, with all its military might. Jesus invites the people to dare to hope, even when they feel that their hopes have been dashed. Living under oppressive Roman occupation, beset by the crushing poverty of peasant life, Jesus offers these words of hope for a world transformed. The promise is that God's reign can break into the most hopeless seeming of situations, bringing with it liberation and justice. The mighty power of this world and the unjust economic systems of this world can and will be transformed by God. This parable, I think, can offer hope to us as well. Now, we do not live under foreign occupation, but these are far from blissful times. Our country is deeply divided along ideological lines. Hate is freely promoted, often against those who are not white and not native-born. Racism keeps in place white supremacy, and current economic practices leave many people struggling to meet basic needs. And at the same time, a very small group enriches themselves. So Jesus offers this parable to us, reminding us that no one, no institution, no power is stronger than God. If seed can fall into less than ideal ground and grow, so can the kingdom of God break into our age and grow. If the smallest seed can grow into a large sheltering bush, so can the kingdom of God take root and grow in our hearts and in our world. It can be tempting for us, I think, to believe the problems our nation faces are so great that there is nothing we can do. We might even lose hope. We might resign ourselves that this is how things are and this is how they will be. That's just life. But I believe we must not do so. This past Thursday, I attended a neighborhood meeting which was called to speak about the gentrification of the Mount Hope neighborhood. At this meeting were community leaders and some city officials, and there was acknowledgement that the challenges that we face in this neighborhood are great. As property values have continued to rise, some long-term residents can no longer afford their homes. They're challenged by rising property taxes. For others, fines and liens placed on their property leave them only owing more on the property than it is worth. Some homeowners have fallen behind on mortgage payments, and their homes have been foreclosed. People who have lived in this community for decades are being forced to move elsewhere. And most affected by these economic realities are people of color. Sitting in this meeting, I felt a whole bunch of emotions. One was sadness that this is our reality, along with a feeling of just how large these issues are, how overwhelming they seem. The realities faced by Mount Hope are part of a larger economic system, the economic policies and practices of our whole nation, and there is no simple path to remedy. Racial discrimination is built into these policies. Further complicating things, the reality is that here in this neighborhood, life is different, economics are different than in other neighborhoods in the city, leaving both remedies less clear and also meaning there's less assistance for those who are experiencing difficulty. But at the same time, I left that meeting with a sense of hope. Here was a gathering of leaders of the neighborhood and city officials coming together to talk, to name the problem, and to advocate for change. Organizations from other neighborhoods are offering input and advice. Rather than saying what confronts this neighborhood is too big to do anything about it, or simply accepting it as just how things are, people are saying this must change. There's the awareness that there are things that we can do. People at the meeting talked about leveraging the power that we have, of setting forth an alternative vision for Mount Hope that's rooted in justice and focused on the best interests of the community. Like those who first heard Jesus in the first century, we are reminded that the kingdom of God is built by God in mysterious and surprising ways. We are called to place our hope in the faithful promises of God. If something as small as a mustard seed produces a bush that offers shelter and provides refuge, we can dare to hope that God's kingdom can break in and will triumph over the unjust powers of our world. We can believe that our seemingly insignificant efforts can be used by God to build up the kingdom. In all things, Jesus is calling us this day to trust God to give the growth. For God to work in ways that we cannot understand, we may not even see. May we trust God can transform our limited understanding into the magnificent reality of God's love and justice, and that that love and justice will prevail. May God's promise become a reality that all will be sheltered in the branches of that noble tree that is God's kingdom. Amen. Amen.